I have a question. By raising of your hand, by the raising of your hand, who enjoys waiting? One person. Okay. Liar. You know, I hate waiting. I hate waiting for pretty much everything. When I go to a restaurant, I hate waiting for my food. I want the food now. I don't like waiting on hold when I'm on the phone. I don't like waiting at a red light when I just want to just drive home and plop in bed. I hate waiting, and I think it's completely contradictory to human nature for a person to enjoy waiting, besides Nick in the back over there. And just look at you know, how today our lives have been met so that we don't have to wait. You go to any grocery store now, and they have a self-checkout or something, or it's called a speed lane, so you don't have to wait as long. Internet connection has got a lot faster since dial-up. Does anyone still have dial-up? No. In commercials, they're always bragging about how their service or their product is the fastest. It's J.G. Wentworth. It's your money, and you need it now. Yes. You go to any theme park, and for a few dollars more, you can get something called a fast pass. Now, I could tell you an embarrassing story about a fast pass. It's actually a terrible thing. It was my senior year of high school, and at the end of the year, we all get to go on something called a senior trip, and everyone had voted to go to Islands of Adventure. Now, on my way over there, I purposed in my heart I would be the first person to finish every single ride. And so I showed up, got there, and I was the first person out of the bus. I sprinted towards the gate, and I put down my $20, and I got myself a fast pass. And within 10 minutes, I had ridden the Incredible Hulk twice. And I was feeling like a champ, and I was feeling pretty cocky and prideful. I was like, man, I just beat the Incredible Hulk. And on my way over to the next ride to celebrate, I had a couple slices of pizza and some fries and a soda. And I think some of you know where this is going. Yeah. Anyways, on my way over to the next ride, Dueling Dragons, I finished both sides of Dueling Dragons. It's two roller coasters in one. And I did that within 10 minutes. And at that point, I was not feeling like king of the world anymore. I was feeling sick. I was feeling pretty bad. So I told my friends, guys, we need to go on something else, something like a baby ride or something so I can calm down. They're like, all right, well, we'll go on the Spider-Man ride. Now, the Spider-Man ride isn't even really a roller coaster. It's just like a 3D simulation where we step in it, and what you step into is supposed to be a taxi cab. And all it does is this. It just tilts. Does nothing else. And it spins around a little bit. But my fate was sealed. And at that point, after the ride was over, I ran out of that ride. And you can only imagine what happened. And it was all because I just couldn't wait in the lines. Now, the text that we're going to be in tonight, and it kind of goes along with that, but on a spiritual level, is Isaiah 40, 31. And a lot of you probably have this verse memorized. Some of you might not have read it. Some of you might have. But it's Isaiah 40, 31. And even if you might have this verse memorized, we're going to take a closer look at it than just first glance. We're going to dissect it a little bit, and we're going to see what God has to say about waiting and about being a Christian that has the discipline to wait. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Looking at this verse, I see three things that the Christian of today can take can take home and apply to their lives. The first is that the Christian of today needs to have the discipline to be able to wait. Second, the Christian of today needs to understand the object of that waiting is on the Lord. We need to be able to wait upon the Lord. And third, if we are able to wait upon the Lord, we can expect our strength renewed. The Bible says that thy word is truth, and the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. So does God lie? And God doesn't break promises. Now, he promised us that our strength would be renewed. So we can look at that verse, and we can expect a renewal of our strength with confidence. So the first thing we see, and if you're taking notes, this is point number one. We need to be able to wait. And the Hebrew word for wait in that sentence, in that verse, doesn't just bring with it the connotation of sitting down with a vacant mind, letting time expire, but it means to look for, to hope for, and to expect. There's an activeness going along with the waiting. And I've found that it's so easy for us to fall back to our flesh when trials enter our life, or when we look ahead to see something we desire now, and those two circumstances derail us from being under the submission of God's timing. But we need to understand that God's timing is infinitely superior to our own. Infinitely superior to our own. And a person that we can look at whose life paints a perfect picture of Isaiah 40:31 is Joseph. If you could turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis 37, verse 4. Joseph was put in a position where he had major issues come into his life. Not just major issues come into his life, but he was presented with something that was put in front of him that could have tempted him to be impulsive in his behavior and override God's timing. And we're going to look at that now. But he didn't. And because he waited on the Lord, his strength was renewed. Genesis 37, verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So right there, we see Joseph had some major family problems. Major. Verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And we know that we know through Scripture that this dream Joseph was given was a prophecy of from God. And this prophecy from God was a prophecy that showed Joseph being uplifted and blessed and empowered above the rest of his family. Now, if my sister told me that one day I was going to bow down and that I was going to bow down to her, I don't know how I would feel about that, just looking at it from his brother's perspective. But Joseph, going forward, always had this in the back of his mind, that one day I'm going to be empowered and I'm going to be blessed, and this is what God has given me. This is a prophecy from God. Remember that as we go forward, because that is going to be very important in the next point. Genesis 37, 18. And when they saw him afar off, them being his brothers, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we'll say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Continuing on, we see that his brothers didn't kill him. Instead, they sold him to a slaver caravan. And Joseph spent a combined 13 years as both a slave and a prisoner. And if there was ever a person who had an excuse, if there was ever a person that had an excuse to rely on their own timing and not God's, I would say it was Joseph. Now you say, wait, Turner, what else could he have done? He was a slave, and then he was a prisoner. What options did he really have other than to wait on the Lord? Listen, no matter where you are, your heart always has options on whether you're going to wait on the Lord. And this was a matter of the heart. And I'll show you that in the next point that we're going to come up to. And that's point number two, if you're taking notes. Joseph waited upon the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 doesn't just show us that we need to have patience, but it shows us where our patience needs to be directed towards, and that's God. Genesis tells us multiple times that despite his situation, him being Joseph, that the Lord was with Joseph. And that tells me that they had a good relationship. And him being a slave and him being in prison didn't derail his relationship with God. Back to his options that he had. During his time as a slave, there was many times when Joseph was left unsupervised. And we know this because of what happened with Potiphar's wife. Potiphar was his master, and his wife wanted to sin with Joseph, and it was just him and his wife alone. Of course, Joseph made the correct decision and did not, but Joseph could have attempted to escape. Joseph could have attempted to escape being a slave, but he didn't. During his time as a prisoner, he could have chosen, this is a matter of the heart, he could have chose to be angry at God, thinking, why would you put me here? Why would you throw me in a prison cell? And prisons back then are not like prisons today. Prisons today, 3 square meals a day and television, and you can get your GED and all these different, I'm not saying I want to go to prison, but A prison in Bible times, you think of it like a dungeon almost. And I could just imagine Joseph having a legitimate excuse of being angry at God, but he wasn't. And he understood that God's timing was superior to his own, and that future blessing, that future uplifting would all happen within God's timing. He didn't have to try to escape, to try and make that happen on his own and act on an impulse. You know, Joseph wasn't impatient. The definition of impatience is having a refusal to wait for people or developments or God, frequently displaying a lack of faith. Now, there is someone in the Bible I could show you who did display impatience with the Lord, that he was not able to wait upon the Lord, and we can see what happened because of that. And that person's name is Saul. And if you could please turn with me to 1 Samuel. Now let me give you a little bit of the background of what's happening here. Saul is in the middle of a major military campaign against the Philistines. And they're fighting and they're waging war. And the Philistines are gathering around Saul's army. And Saul doesn't see any victory in sight. Now, he knows he can't have victory unless he makes this sacrifice. He knows that he's supposed to make a sacrifice. And that's the only way he can have victory. But he has to wait for the prophet Samuel to show up before he's allowed to make the sacrifice. But Saul is not under the submission of God's timing. And Saul, we'll read, and the Bible will show you what Saul does. 1 Samuel chapter 13, I didn't tell you the chapter. Sorry about that. Chapter 13, verse 9. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering." Notice it doesn't say unto the Lord. "And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, 'What hast thou done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever.'" Samuel's saying, listen, if you would have just waited upon the Lord, your kingdom would have been set up on this earth forever. Verse 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." Who's that? David. "And the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." You know, if Saul would have just waited on the Lord, things would have been so different for him. Isaiah 40:31 says that he would have been strengthened, that his strength would have been made new. But instead, the opposite happened. Instead, blessing was taken from him. And it's funny how the very person that replaced him, David, wrote in the book of Psalm the very thing that Saul needed to hear at that time. If you could please turn with me, and we're not going to go to many more verses. This will be the last verse. Yeah, this will be the last verse. If you could turn with me to Psalm 27, verse 14, and we're going to see what David wrote. David wrote exactly what Saul needed to hear at that time. Psalms 27, verse 14, says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." This verse isn't just a commandment. This isn't just the Bible saying, do this. It's also an encouragement. Be of good courage. Because the very times that we're going to find ourselves needing to wait on the Lord are sometimes, they're going to be the times when we're uncomfortable doing that, and the times where we won't want to do that. All Saul saw in that situation was the Philistines gathering around him. And he was not ready to place his faith in God's timing. He fell right back to his flesh and trusted in his own timing. And he sacrificed the animal before he was supposed to. You know, if we direct our patience towards the Lord and we submit ourselves to his timing, we can expect our strength to be made new. And that is the final point that, if you're taking notes, we're going to jot that down. Our strength will be renewed. I worked at Publix for 6 years. Every 5 years you work for Publix, you get like a prize. And the prizes early on are not that great. And then the prizes as you get up towards retirement are awesome. They're like cruises and plasma screen TVs. And I think I got like a $5 gift card to Publix for my 5 years. It's like, really? Okay. But I was a cashier for most of my time there, a bagger and a cashier. And I would always like to watch the people that would come through my line. And there would be all kinds of people that would come through my line. And I would see a lot of time, around dinner time, I would see people coming in to pick up last-minute things for their dinner. And sometimes it was women, sometimes it was men. And so often I would see, obviously, these wealthy people. They would come in, and they had a really nice watch on, and they had obviously put forth a lot of effort in whatever field they were in. They were really working hard at what they were doing. And it showed. I could see, oh, that guy's got money. And then I would ring them up, and they would go and they'd hand me their money, and I'd look at them, and I would just see a crushed, defeated person in their eyes. And you know, there's always talk about the strength of the human spirit and human resolve and resilience. And I think these things are true. You can be strong in and of yourself, but I believe it comes at a cost. But the Bible tells us that if we wait upon the Lord, that our strength will be renewed. Not in the sense that our strength will be renewed, but the word renewed in this verse literally translates to change. And I started thinking about that. What does that mean? What does it mean that our strength will be not just made new, but it'll be changed? And then I thought of Philippians 4:13 on where this changed strength comes from. For I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I believe that the strength that we receive when we wait upon the Lord is literally God's strength. You know, when our strength is changed, there's a major, major difference. And consider being given the task of being the new church bus driver. And Pastor Hunter walks up to you and says, "Listen, we really need you to drive the bus. Whoever's driving the bus is not doing it anymore. And you're going to be picking people up in the morning." And you're just like, okay, sure. So you show up early in the morning, and you show up to church. It's a Sunday morning, to swap out your vehicle with the bus. There's only one problem. The rain from last night had been so hard that the bus was stuck in the mud. So you can try and get this bus out on your own, but all you have to do that is the Honda Civic that you drove here in, and the only thing you have to connect it to the Honda Civic is the laces on your shoes. Now you can try that, but I don't think it's going to work very well. Now you can call your friend, and your friend could be there in 30 minutes, and your friend's going to show up with a Ford F-350 4x4 diesel, and no shoelaces for him. It's only a steel winch, a steel cable winch. You see, that's the difference between your strength and God's strength when it's renewed. But you have to be able to wait upon the Lord if you want to receive God's strength. And if you aren't able to wait upon the Lord, just look at Saul. So, in conclusion, you know, we need to be Christians that have the ability to wait, that have the discipline in our lives to be able to wait and realize that we need to wait upon the Lord, that our patience needs to be directed towards the Lord. During the hard times, during the times when we might be tempted to act impulsively, and we need to be Christians that understand that our strength is nothing next to God's strength. And if we can wait upon the Lord, we receive God's strength. If we're having problems or if we're having issues waiting upon the Lord, we need to ask Him to teach us how to wait upon Him. Looking back at Joseph, his life and the circumstances in his life were outstandingly difficult. And he had every reason and every excuse not to wait upon the Lord and to act out in his own timing, to escape from being a slave when he was unattended. When he was in prison, he could have said, "Forget you, God, I want nothing to do with you." But that's not what he did. Instead, he purposed in his heart and waited prison out and prophesied while he was in prison and maintained a healthy relationship with God. And his strength was made new. And he was made the second in command in Egypt behind Pharaoh. And just like the prophecy said, his brothers came in a time of drought and they bowed down to him. Isaiah 40:31, you know, it can't tell us any clearer than that. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Let's pray.